Johnny Mack with your daily comedy. It's really a lot to get to today. I bounced a couple topics, and this first story that I'll do after the late night is kind of huge. Let's start with late night, though. Trevor Noah said, for most of 2021, the world has been fighting against the various COVID variants, which are more than the OG from Wuhan. We had Alpha, we had Lambda, we had Delta. COVID basically turned the planet into the frat house of all time. Trevor, I mean, how did that happen after everything we did? I mean, for 2 years now, people wore masks for some of the time. We social distanced when it was convenient. Then like half of us got vaccinated. What more is it going to take? And it could be that all these mutations that sound so scary turn out to not be a big deal, you know? Like when Apple acts like it's making a ton of changes to the iPhone and we're like, I need a new iPhone, I need a new iPhone. And you're like, wait, it's just a slightly different camera? I killed a man in line for this thing. Stephen Colbert said, so it looks like we're never really going to get rid of COVID. It's like Mel Gibson. He ebbs and flows, and because of a few idiots out there, we're stuck with some form of him forever. So it has been a busy morning here at Daily Comedy News headquarters. It started, I was writing the show. Normally the show takes me about an hour to put together before I record it. And I'm always working in waves. You know, I'm working on today's show, but I'll see a story and I'll be like, oh, that can wait till Thursday. And this one can wait for the weekend. And this will be a good Christmas filler. So I have like a whole document of stuff. I'll share it with you at some point. But basically I have like Christmas week half written already because I know Christmas week. Anyway, I digress. So it started this morning. On the Facebook group, Daily Comedy News podcast group, where you are encouraged to post things, Dan Bublitz Jr. got my attention, and he asked if anybody has seen anything about this. It is a tweet from comedian Joe Zimmerman. Joe Zimmerman tweets, Spotify just dropped comedians without warning because they refused to pay royalties around literary copyrights. Rights the comics are legally owned and musicians already paid. Spotify is now a $47 billion corporation that pays artists next to nothing. That's an interesting tweet from Joe. I hadn't fact-checked it, just telling you what Joe Zimmerman tweeted. So thank you, Dan Bublitz Jr., for an excellent use of the Facebook group page, Daily Comedy News Podcast Group. Please join. So I went on Spotify myself, and I'm like, I'm going to play some Jim Gaffigan. And a Jim Gaffigan playlist came up, but all the clips were grayed out. Wasn't able to play any Jim Gaffigan. There seems to be some truth to this. Then later in the morning, the Laugh Button published an article saying, and this is a loaded headline in my opinion, but their headline, Spotify pulls comedy catalogs in retaliation to comedians asking for owned royalties. That seems a little harsh there, but let's see what the story says. From the Laugh Button, late last week, as most of the world was preparing to take some downtime and enjoy a Thanksgiving spread, blah, 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 Spotify quietly removed albums and in some cases entire comedian catalogs from its platform. This affected all levels of comedians from working comics to some of the biggest names in the game, including Jim Gaffigan, John Mulaney, Dave Attell, Mike Birbiglia, Chad Daniels, Tom Segura, and Kyle Kinane. So I think we're going to hear from comedians in the next few days. This probably will become a BFD story, is my sense of things. It is just developing as I'm recording this noon on Tuesday. By the way, it was such a busy morning, I forgot to throw Mulaney into Google today to see if there's any gossip corner. I'm not going to do it. I'll get so sidetracked. The Laugh Button says, obviously, this caused both rage and confusion from comedians as many of them took to social media asking, hey, what's the deal? The Laugh Button writes, the pleas for transparency fell on deaf ears, and Spotify didn't appear to be responding to their request for answers on the whereabouts of their work. Perhaps because it was a holiday weekend? I don't know. The comedian's complaints are about artist literary copyright royalties. Say that three times fast. I did. You missed the edits. Just like musicians, comedians are owed money when their material is played on any radio station or streaming platform. The comics are stating when their publishing companies approached Spotify and asked for the royalties, Spotify decided it was easier for them to remove albums and catalogs rather than pay the comedians what they are legally owed. Now, I don't know what is happening here. The way this is supposed to work is the computer tracks what you played and you pay some royalties. A lot of these things run through a company called Sound Exchange, so I'm not sure what is broken here or not broken here or what's going on. The Laugh Button writes, artist publishing is a common practice in the music space. Companies like ASCAP and BMI have long collected artist royalties for decades. However, the concept is fairly new to comedy. I mean, define fairly new. I was at Sirius XM in 2004. We were doing it then. It's not that new. Check your calendar. This event seems to be an inflection point for the industry as billion-dollar streaming platforms might have to reconcile with the idea that they haven't paid comics accordingly for years. Again, I don't know what's going on. I would be very surprised if that is true. From the Laugh Button, on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, comedian Gianmarco Sorosi shared an email that Spoken Giants CEO Jim King sent to all comedians the agency represented. According to their website, Spoken Giants launched in 2020 and is, quote, the first global rights administration company for the owners and creators of spoken word copyrights, which essentially means they handle publishing royalties for comedians, the first of its kind. They also manage the work of an impressive roster of comedians such as Patton Oswalt, Lewis Black, Jeff Foxworthy, Tom Segura, Gabriel Iglesias, Elaine Boozler, Roy Wood Jr., Mike Birbiglia, Kathleen Madigan, and the estates of Bob Hope, Lucille Ball, Don Rickles, and Ralphie May. That is an impressive list. The laugh button says the email from King states, based on Thanksgiving communications with Spotify, it appears Spotify has started to take down comedy as a category, affecting your works and the works of other comedians, both from Spoken Giants and elsewhere. We do not have an agreement with Spotify, and this must be an indication that they know they don't have all the rights in place to serve this content. We are working to contact Spotify to determine what the issues are and respond accordingly. Our mission is to serve you and create value for your copyrights. This is not impacting other platforms such as Pandora or Sirius. We'll provide further information as we understand the situation. So we'll keep an eye on this one. I bet the comedians will get a little cranky. I don't know. I could speculate on what's going on or not, and I don't know what's going on or not, so let me just read the Laugh Button article to you and move along, but we'll keep an eye on that one. From Variety, Miley Cyrus and Pete Davidson will join forces for Miley's New Year's Eve party hosted by Miley Cyrus and Pete Davidson. Yes, Miley's New Year's Eve party hosted by Miley Cyrus and Pete Davidson, which rolls off the tongue, promises a star-studded lineup of special guests and musical performances. Sounds like we haven't booked anybody yet. Miley's New Year's Eve party, hosted by Miley Cyrus and Pete Davidson, is executive produced by Lorne Michaels. You would have guessed that if that came up on Trivia Night, which is tonight, Glenn. See you there. The debut of Miley's New Year's Eve party, hosted by Miley Cyrus and Pete Davidson, A, is great if you have a comedy podcast. I mean, that's just awesome, because now I'll have content on January 3rd, because I'm not going to record the January 1st episode at 2 in the morning. Come on, let's be real here. Plus, Miley's New Year's Eve party, hosted by Miley Cyrus and Pete Davidson, marks the end of Carson Daly's reign as NBC's New Year's Eve host after 16 editions. Speaking of NBC late night, one of the things I do is I teach a college class. I asked them last night if they knew who Johnny Carson was. Not one knew who Johnny Carson was. Wow. If it makes you feel any better, not one of them had heard of the band Two Live Crew either. Amazing. From Awful Announcing, the creative split between Adam McKay and Will Ferrell 2 years ago was one of the more surprising developments in Hollywood. Will Ferrell recently told The Hollywood Reporter that the two had different ambitions for future projects. But according to a Vanity Fair feature on McKay, what truly broke up the friendship with Will Ferrell was his upcoming LA Lakers limited series for HBO. That's based on Jeff Perlman's 2014 book Showtime. This is about the Lakers in the 80s. Will Ferrell, huge fan of the team, wanted to play team owner Jerry Buss in the series, but McKay, who moved the production to his company, wanted John C. Reilly to play Buss. McKay says, the truth is, the way the show was always going to be done, it's hyper-realistic, and Will Ferrell just doesn't look like Jerry Buss, and he's not the vibe of a Jerry Buss, and there were some people involved who were like, we love Ferrell, he's a genius, but we can't see him doing it. It was a bit of a hard discussion. Perhaps making the matter even more awkward, says Awful Announcing, is that Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly are best friends. McKay didn't want to hurt Ferrell's feelings by casting Reilly, yet he ended up doing so without telling Will, who found out about the casting choice from Reilly himself. There were already tensions between Will Ferrell and McKay going back to the end of Gary Sanchez Productions, but getting passed over for the Buss role angered the actor so much that he and McKay have not corresponded since. McKay says, I effed up on how I handle that. It's the old thing of keep your side of the street clean. I should have just done everything by the book. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by Palace Intrigue. That is a daily podcast about the royal family. I am the writer on it. And boy, Meghan Markle, Kate, Will, Harry, it never stops. It just never stops. There's always something. Did you see Meghan on Ellen last week? Woo-hoo-hoo. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows. Tonight, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia returns. I have discovered to my horror, they're burning the episodes pretty quickly. The season 15, is only 8 episodes, and instead of dragging it out for 2 months, they're showing 2 every week. I mean, good but bad. I wanted to do recaps every week, and I'm going to do recaps, but now we're going to burn through the whole season in 4 weeks? What are you doing, FXX? Tonight at 10 on your FXX, episode 1, 2020, a year in review. The gang looks back on 2020 to justify their numerous PPE loans as they contributed to the chaos of the past political year way more than anyone could have imagined. Then episode 2, The Gang Makes Lethal Weapon 7. Uh-oh. Upon discovering their self-made Lethal Weapon sequels have been pulled from the local library, the gang decides to address their political incorrectness by making another film, Lethal Weapon 7. If you missed Saturday, I did a preview of the season, and I started to dive in on the psychoticness, which I don't think is a word. I think I'm supposed to say psychosis, but to me, it's the psychoticness of Dennis. He starts off normal, but as we get deeper into the series, he's kind of crazy. So what I think I'm going to do is on Saturdays for the next few weeks, Saturdays will just be about It's All About Sunny. If that show doesn't float your boat and you want to skip the Saturday episodes, no problem. I already can tell you this week, Sunday is a normal episode. I've got a ton of stuff and it's going to come out really well. So I will recap the episodes on Saturday, and Sunday is normal. Yesterday, we were having a conversation on the Daily Comedy News Facebook group page about Ali Colbert. That is the comedian who appeared on The Tonight Show. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Now, I had suggested that maybe she was a late booking. I was wrong. I went back and checked. She was booked. The scheduled guests for Monday, November 22nd were Jeremy Renner, Kristen Chenoweth, and stand-up comedian Ali Colbert. So she was not a fill-in. This was, you know, scheduled. I'm still quite surprised at it. As I talked about yesterday, go back and listen to yesterday's episode. Her socials aren't that strong. She's not that famous. It just seems like, wow, that's a pretty good booking for somebody at Ali Colbert's level. That's not a dig at Ali. It's just meaning she's not Will Ferrell. You know what I'm saying? So just as a comparison, so Monday was Renner, Chenoweth, and Ali Colbert. Tuesday was Hallie Steinfeld, Lisa Koshy, and Avril Lavigne. Wednesday, Julie Bowen, Kiki Palmer, and musical guest Zoe Wees. Thanksgiving, Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd, Sebastian Maniscalco, and musical guest Jenny Lewis. Friday was a rerun, but the guest list Taylor Swift, Colin Quinn, and stand-up comedian Jared Freed. Now, Jared, I know, worked with him a little bit a few years back, and he's part of that Betches Media that Ali Colbert does some videos for. And Jared, I just saw today, one of his podcasts got named by Apple as one of the great podcasts of the year. But Jared's not that famous either, but based on his podcast, he's probably slightly more famous than Ali. Anyway, and this week on The Tonight Show, just as a comparison, Monday was Alicia Cara and Pistol Annies, no third guest listed. Tuesday, Rita Moreno, Nicholas Braun, Dusty Slay. Tonight, Seth Rogen, Macklemore, featuring Windsor, no third guest listed. Tomorrow, Blake Shelton, Anna Gasteyer, Rachel Dratch. Friday, Tyler Perry, Michael Bublé, and CK, not Louis CK, CKAY. The internet tells me CK is a Nigerian singer-songwriter and record producer signed to Warner Music South Africa. So that's an overview of the Tonight Show bookings, and you know, I was just a little surprised. Now, Lane Spurk has commented on the Facebook group, Daily Comedy News Facebook group. Again, feel encouraged to join the group, take part in the conversation. Lane clicked on the clip I shared and wrote, I went into this whirly because I feared the clapter was due to pandering. The opening, where Colbert said it was her second time on the Tonight Show and received applause, worried me. Then she said she got her booster and could see her family for Thanksgiving. To more claps, and I rolled my eyes, but thank goodness that was a setup to a joke, and she joked for the rest of the set. You can debate the quality of the material, I thought it was fair to good, but it contained jokes throughout. The audience response was odd. They did indeed clap instead of laugh after punchlines numerous times. Maybe that's how they've been geared to respond that particular night, or maybe it was like a consolation prize for a joke that was okay but not LOL funny. I'll jump in. I think it's that. Back to Lane. I shudder to think of a third possibility, that more and more audiences think clapping is the correct response to a stand-up set. Interesting. So I agree this was an example of clapter, but not in the usual way. Most times it's because a performer is mentioning celebrity milestones, birthdays, marriages, or groups. Give it up for mothers, veterans, and the hometown team. We're asserting widely shared opinions, who likes ice cream, in a predictable way to receive positive feedback, pandering for claps instead of trying to be funny for laughs. Great comment. Lane Spurkus, Daily Comedy News Facebook group page. Please feel encouraged to join us. I know we're getting long here, but I have some stuff that I bounced from even yesterday, and I see tomorrow is going to get busy. So from Al Jazeera, your home for comedy news. Hey, remember Munawar Faruqi? That's the Indian comedian who went to jail for jokes he never actually told. Remember that story? I think that's about a year ago now. From Al Jazeera, Munawar Faruqi announces retirement at age 29 after right-wing Hindu groups force cancellation of nearly a dozen shows in 2 months. He posted on his Instagram profile saying, hate has won, the artist has lost. After his show scheduled on Sunday was canceled by the organizers, we called off 12 shows in the last 2 months because of the threats to the venue and the audience. If you don't remember the original story, police had claimed they had enough evidence on, quote, objectionable comments made against Hindu gods at a concert about a year ago. A senior police officer later told a news website that Faruqi had not made the jokes at the show, but was going to. The comedian ended up spending 37 days in jail for jokes he never told. Faruqi told India's NDTV network earlier this month he gets 50 threat calls daily and he was forced to change his phone number 3 times. When my number gets leaked, people call and abuse me. In my case, they use my religion. That scares me. Also in the news and no fun, from CNN, prosecutors in Pennsylvania announced they're appealing a court ruling in the case against Bill Cosby. They're appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court. Demonstrating that I will continue to have content for this podcast for quite some time, the argument to the U.S. Supreme Court argues that a statement from a previous district attorney that they would not file charges against Cosby does not mean that the charges would never be filed. The question presented to the court is, where a prosecutor publicly announces that he will not file criminal charges based on lack of evidence, does the due process clause of the 14th Amendment transform that announcement into a binding promise that no charges will ever be filed? A promise that the target may rely on as if it were a grant of immunity. In a statement, District Attorney Kevin Steele says the decision could have far-reaching negative consequences across the country in its present form. And from Chortle, Bo Burnham's lockdown special Inside has been named Best Comedy at this year's, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Rose d'Or International TV Awards. Maybe that's French, but whatever. Bo Burnham edged out British shows Famalam, Motherland, and Staged. Comedian has already won 3 Emmy Awards for the special. I should probably watch it, right? Maybe tonight. But has been controversially ruled out of the best comedy album at the Grammys because the Grammys are smart and understand what an album is. Oh, no, they don't. They added Dave Chappelle's special, which is a TV special. The Emerging Talent Award was given to the creator of We Are Lady Parts, Nita Manzur. Receiving her award, she said, "Making We Are Lady Parts was such a joy, and the show has been with me for some years. So to finally been able to make it with such an excellent cast and crew has really meant the world to me. To be receiving an award that's so close to my heart, just really overwhelming." That was a lot, right? It's trivia night. Buy me a beer at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. We'll see what happens with this little Spotify thing. It should be pretty interesting. Follow this show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Good Pods, or I guess Spotify. Wherever you get your shows, it's up to you. See you tomorrow.